Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome again to the Church of God International in London. And certainly, I want to welcome those who are joining us by way of the internet to this service. We trust you've been able to join us week by week as we come to you, you know, with the Word of God, presenting to you perspectives from the Word of God that we think are critical and important in these times that we live. And you will recall that the last time I spoke, the topic was just an introduction to the book of Revelation, just giving you a sense of what is there. And we thought we would get into the book of Revelation because we are approaching the fall festivals, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, of course, the Last Great Day. And the book of Revelation really is an unfolding of events that are to take place within the context of these feasts, the Feasts of Trumpets and Atonement, and of course the coming of Christ, the tabernacle of God coming to the earth. And so it is a sort of the beginning of the exercise of getting to understand, because there's so much to cover that you just can't do that within the feast alone. You can't wait until the Feast of Trumpets to start talking about the trumpets, because there is a lot of material there to cover. So it is a season, and we're approaching the season, and we want to really get the best we can out of it. The fact is that as we look into the pages of the Bible, we see there, it becomes very clear that our world is in its final stage, the final countdown to the end time events spoken about in the Bible. And we may be going about our lives trying to complete all of our, you know, missions, all of the things that we have in mind that we think are important. But there are things that are far more important than the things we are planning for ourselves. There's a world already. There is a whole plan in the Bible. There is a whole story in the Bible as to how this plan will be unfolded. And we would be foolish to be consumed with the plans of our little narrow lives, just looking at our little corner, and not understand this big picture. Thank you so much, Brother Gary, for the sermonette, which spoke to the purpose of human life. The big picture, the big questions that people need to ask, and not to be tied down with the narrow considerations, the narrow issues of life. There are major catastrophes ahead of us. Major. You haven't seen anything yet. We are talking about, many persons are saying, I'm not comfortable. The weather was what, 39 degrees?
A few. 39.
Okay, I give you 1 degree off 38. It wasn't any cooler. It was really, really hot. In fact, it was considered to be the hottest day, I don't know, for decades in Britain. And we, you know, it happens. And nobody can really say, okay, I'm gonna stop it.
Yeah, okay.
The fact is that even the railway system, you know, suffered from it. And these are just little indications to say to us that there are some things that are about to happen. And if we don't believe it, here are some little samples. The major natural disasters that are happening around the world are significant. The major human disasters that are happening around the world are very, very significant. And they are only a tip of the iceberg of what is to come. And as God's people in the world, we must be mindful of where it is going. Because our duty in the world is to remind the world of what is happening. This is what the prophets did. This is what the apostles did. They went out reminding and warning and bringing to people's attention. This is what Noah did. And he did it for so many years. And people just thought that this guy up there called Noah, he and his few families. I don't know who they think they are. You know, every day they're talking. Look how long he's talking. Nothing happened. Yeah. Let me go do my own business and forget about him, you know. He'll soon be out of the way. Yeah. That's what they thought about him. Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so it is going to be in the end, where people are going about their business, giving in marriage, doing their, all the, fulfilling their dreams. But our dreams, really, are so temporary. Yes, we need to do the best we can in the life that we have, with what we have. God says we must rule over this domain called the earth. He has given it to mankind that we can have it for our use and our benefits. But he says, do not get caught up and believe that this is it. This is not it. There is a far more, there's a bigger picture that we have to deal with. And that is why it is important for us to use our Sabbath and talk about these things. Because it is what we must remind ourselves and at the same time remind others about all of what is about to happen. Believe it or not, according to what the Bible tells us, there is a generation, the Bible says, that when that generation is in existence, is born, the people in that generation will not die off until Christ returns. In other words, there's a generation that is going to see a series of developments coming right up to the time of the coming of Christ. And that generation, from the beginning of these, the fulfillment of particular prophecies that Jesus spoke about, he said, this generation will witness all of these things. Then the Son of Man will come. There is are major things such as what is termed World War III that is coming. There was a World War I, and there was a lot of resolve by people that this will never happen again. Never happen again. And everybody was saying, how could we be so crazy? And it will never happen again. Within just a few years. What, the one was in what, 1917? The other was 1940. What, 43?
1920 was the first one.
Right? 1914, coming up to 1917. Remember that about? Right? And the other one came in 1940, ended in 45. It ended about 45. And that was the second one. And we have believed that, well, we form United Nations, and we have done everything we can to get men to come together and say, okay, we can talk. We don't have to fight. But you see it with your eyes. More nuclear weapons have been developed since 1945 than what was there before. In fact, they didn't have nuclear. I think they had atom, you know, the atom bomb or something like that. Yeah. But now we have gone nuclear. And it has been said over and over, it takes only one strike of one nuclear weapon to wipe out thousands, if not millions of people. Can you imagine if there's a war and we're going to begin using those things? Why is it there? Do you ever believe that it is there because we did not want to use it? Why? Do you know the billions of dollars that are spent to build these equipment? Do you know how much priority they get over money for education and money for health? Money goes to armory? It's there. We have to be wise. When is this thing going to be used? Does anybody have any idea about using it? Is there any structure in place that says it will be used at some time? The fact is, it will at some point. Because the Bible tells us that it is not in man to govern himself. So, God has revealed in his word that there's coming a time when within a short space of time, a third of humanity is going to be wiped off of the earth. A third of the plants, a third of the animals, a third of the water, all of this is going to be totally destroyed. Drinkable water is going to become so polluted, you can't drink it anymore. And whilst that is happening, it's going to be just major, major disasters around us. Now, we don't want to sound, you know, like we are simply bringing bad news. At the end of it all, there's good and great news. So these seals that we have here, the seven seals in the book of Revelation, is worthwhile listening to. It is not something that we should take and put in there and say, oh, you know, it's just theory. It is not theory. It is probably the most important thing you need to know. Just what lies ahead. What is about to happen. And so in Revelation 6, in the sixth chapter of Revelation, we see there where John describes the events to take place. And we see there is a prelude to the opening of the seals in a search for someone worthy to open it. That is how it opens. It says the seals were there and you saw it, but it needed to be opened. Let's look at it in Revelation 5:1, where we just read. I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides. What it means is that it was a scroll with a lot of information. Both sides. Okay? Just a lot of information in the scroll. And it says here, and sealed with seven seals. So it has writing on both sides, and the scroll is sealed with seven seals. A mighty angel cries out, who is worthy to break the seals and to open the scroll? This has to be something. It's not an ordinary thing. Who is worthy? It requires a certain kind of person to open these seals. These seals are no ordinary thing where you go see if there's some kind of a little tool out there to dig it off or something like that. It required a particular kind. It goes on and it shows you that no one was worthy of breaking the seals. Verses, is it 3 and 4 here? It says, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. So it is so urgent that I wept. You know, this is not ordinary. There must be something that is bothering John. Because he was weeping. Why would you weep? Somebody can't open the seal. If it doesn't matter, then you wouldn't be weeping. It means that there's something of extraordinary importance. It goes on. And one of the elders saith to me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals. So here we see that there is the preamble, the leading up before the seals are even attempted to be opened. There is a concern about who can open it, where is the person, and if it can't be opened, it is going to be a serious problem. And why would it be? Why do you think John would be thinking that, boy, he's weeping? What is it? Well, it is reasonable to believe from looking at the scriptures in total that the seals, the opening of the seals, was for the purpose of judgment. It was for the purpose of dealing with sin. It was for the purpose of dealing with wickedness. It was for the purpose of bringing an end to this sin-sick world. And John would have been concerned, if they can't be opened, we're going to be locked up in this misery. We're going to be locked up in this hard time. We're going to be still dominated by sin. If nobody can open it. John was concerned because he understood the crisis of human life and that we need a solution. And if the seals cannot be opened, the solution cannot come. He would therefore be crying. So there is a significant reason. He would have been weeping about the fact, because sin could not be dealt with, because man cannot deliver himself from sin. So that is one way to look at it, that John cried because this opening of the seal was the answer to a human, everlasting human problem that we have been having ever since Adam fell. And he was saying, my goodness, are we stuck? Are we not going to get out of this? It's like you're locked up in a place and it's all in blaze, it's all in fire. And you, nobody can find a key to open the door for you to get out. That's the condition. That's the scenario. That's the feeling that was being experienced. And then he goes on and says, the land of Judah prevailed. He prevailed in order to open the seal. What does this mean? He prevailed. Prevailed over what? What is this? Because you're seeing this dramatic development. It means that Christ overcame these titanic battles to be where he is. Remember, at his very birth, there was a decree made by Herod to kill all of the children, to wipe them out, because they didn't want, they heard that this person is going to be born, that this king is going to be born of the Jews. And we don't want them around. We don't want these Jews to have any leadership around here. And the easiest way is to get rid of this possible king. So you know what? You're going to wipe out all children of a certain age group. Can you imagine how many children died as a result? And had God not said to Mary, look, take him and run to Egypt. Take him out of the country. Because it is true. There are some times when you run to places that you don't even want to go. Because remember, Egypt is considered a type of sin. Yes. Remember? Yes. Remember, that's Pharaoh's country. Mm-hmm. But there are times of crises, when you hold on to a straw for survival. And then, okay, he did not get him. But he ended up killing him on the cross. He never gave up. And had God not raised him from the dead, and even if he raised him from the dead, there remained a crisis. In fact, before he went on the cross, right after his baptism, remember that he was taken into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the devil sought to see if he could get some way of having Jesus on his side to support him. All these things I will give to you if you bow down and worship me. To overcome those things. So to say he prevailed to open the seals is a big thing. Consider what he went through. The Lamb of Judah, the Lion of Judah, has prevailed to open the seals. And this is because these seals are the way in which the judgments that are to fall upon the world, upon sin and upon Satan, come out of the opening of the seals. It's revealing what is going to happen in the end of time. It's revealing what God is going to do. And so, these seals, we find them in Revelation 6. And it is very much, is very important to understand that the seals are all spoken about in Revelation 6. But Christ provided already, even before the book of Revelation was written, the key to understanding, the key to knowing what the meaning of the seals are. So in the Gospels, in Matthew and Mark and Luke, there is material there that Jesus gave to us, which he gave in the very sequence that the seals fall, to give you an answer so you can understand what these seals are all about. So Matthew 24 is a key to understanding the seals in Revelation 6. You know, basically Matthew 24 is kind of your call. You'll go to Luke as well. There's a, you know, information there, and in Mark, but particularly in Matthew 24. Because if Matthew 24 is lined up in a way in a way that the seals in Revelation are unfolded. And we're not intending to cover detailed in all the seals in this presentation today. What I want to do is to do a kind of an overview of all of the seals, and then to tune into specific ones. So today, after we do an overview of the seals, we will tune into seal number one, and we'll talk about that. And then the next time I speak, I don't know if it's going to be next week. I know we have a speaking schedule here. The next time, if it's next week then, I speak, then we will have I'll deal with more than likely seal number seven. Because these two, number one and number seven, the others, we can see there are events that are going to unfold, very difficult times, hardships and so on. But the significance of number one and number seven to you and to me is very important for us to get close to and to understand. So if you look in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, you look at verses 1 and 2, it says, I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, come. I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror, bent on conquest. So this is someone who is on a mission. And what this represents, you will see it in Revelation chapter 24, and verses 4 and 5. You will see here, Jesus said, remember now the question that was asked of him, because you see, it is all about, he was revealing things that are going to happen in the end. The question that was asked of Jesus is, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. So this is in the beginning of Revelation 24. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So these seals are about the sign of the coming of Jesus and about the end of the age. And that is a question that Jesus was asked. And look at what was the first one, the first thing that Jesus told them that would happen. He says, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name claiming I am Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear. But let's go to number six yet. So that one of deception, right, is the seal that deals with the area of deception. So this white horse that we see in Revelation is referring to that white horse. And why it is important to study these things is because you will see in the scriptures that a white horse is really used to represent Christ and his coming. And one could very well look and say, oh, a white horse, that's Christ. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that it probably represents purity. It represents power. Things that are very Christ-like. And you have to look very careful at this to know what's the difference. So we'll get into that a little later when we're dealing with seal number one. We're going to get back to it and deal with it in a more thorough way. But I'm just giving you a sketch. So you've seen already that it is a white horse coming out on a board with a bow in his hand. And Jesus is saying, watch out that no one deceives you. What we will say to you is that that horse coming out and the person riding it is a messenger of false doctrines. It is someone who has come out to deceive, someone who has come out to conquer and to make sure But everyone is deceived. And he's going to do a mighty work of it. And Jesus says, watch out for this. So, right away, you're seeing the parallel. You're seeing that the first thing that Jesus says, speaks about, is the deception. And in Revelation, the first thing, the first seal, is dealing with a white horse coming out, going to conquer. But what you will see, I'll show you later, is that the slight difference between that white horse and the conqueror sitting on it, and when Jesus comes, it's simply that he has a bow, the one who is the first seal. And when Jesus is coming in the form of a white horse, he has a sword. So, it is like a counterfeit. Just as how you have a counterfeit dollar and or a counterfeit pound. And you would look at it and everything looks just like, it looks like 100 pounds. It looks like a 100 pound in every way. Until you probably take it and put it up to the light and you see a little thing, that watermark that should be there is not there. Then you say, oh my goodness, that is what it's like. It looks exactly like Jesus. It's just, Jesus has a sword, this person has a bow in his hand. That's how deception comes. And what he's telling you is that a lot of the things that you will hear people say is going to sound right. It's going to sound good. It's going to sound like the truth. It's going to sound like it comes from the Bible. It's going to sound as though Jesus said it. But you have to be careful. It's telling us you're going to have to scrutinize to know what is right, what is true, what is healthy, what is unhealthy. Going to have to do that. That is it. The second seal. The second seal, Revelation 6, verse 3 to 4. It says, when the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come. Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make people kill each other. To him was given a large sword, something to go ahead and to kill. So what we're seeing here is that this is all about war. This is all about people killing each other. It is all about taking away peace. There's no peace from the earth. It takes away peace from the earth and make people kill each other. That's what it says. Look at what Jesus says now. The next thing he says to them in Matthew 24. Jesus says in Matthew 24, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Peace is taken away from the earth. And this is war. This is fighting. This is where you're going to see the battleships and you're going to see all the artillery going out. And this is going to happen. And what you will notice is that Jesus will say, but the end is not yet. Meaning, don't bother to think that this is the end. These things are going to happen. But this is not the end. These are just developments taking place, which are leading to the end. Go to number three, seal number three. Seal number three, Revelation 6, verses 5 to 6. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come. I looked, and there before me was a black horse. His rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. So all these graphics you're seeing, a bow in his hand, the other one you're seeing is taking away peace. He has come to fight. And now you're seeing here in this third one, a pair of scales. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wages. 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wages and 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages. And do not damage the oil and the wine. It's talking about food. It's talking about scarcity. It's talking about all those things. What was Jesus' next point in Matthew 24? You look at it. And by the way, I'm doing this sermon because my wife actually had, during her, the prayer meetings, that you're having. Actually, had asked me about these trumpets and these seals and coming up close to the time of the feast, your prayer meeting, you'd like to do a little reading on it. And I said, you know what? Oh, that's a good idea. And we could complement the prayer group. While you're looking at and you're reading, we can do these as some of a series on this so that we can get to understand a little bit closer. So there's a parallel there between the prayer group that is meeting and is reading these things and also the explanation in the sermons that we are giving. And it shows you here that this third seal is talking about scarcity of food and expense, how it is hard to buy. That's the imagery. It's talking about scales. It's talking about weighing things, which means is buying and getting the right weight for your money's worth. That is the imagery that is given. What did Jesus? Look at at verse 7 of Matthew 24. The third thing that Jesus said, there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Well, let's take the famines part first, because the other seal comes up with the earthquakes. And he says, all these are the beginning of birth pangs. He's saying it's not the end. It's the beginning of some sorrows. Can you imagine famine is coming and Jesus is saying this is only the beginning of sorrows? Can you imagine war has come and he says the end is not yet? It's only the start. It is frightening. It means that we cannot sit, even though we are getting through with our fine jobs and we have been able to pay down on that lovely home and we are getting good education for ourselves and our children, fine. Thank God, let's use it and do the best we can. But be aware, because these things are going to come upon us. Jesus says, like a thief in the night. It's going to take people suddenly, when you think it's peace and safety, it's going to be sudden destruction. We are warned. That is why we are doing this work. Many people today, on the Sabbath, they are using it to meet at the pub and to have some lovely drink and to meet their old friends and probably play some games and things of that nature, or to think about the stock market or things of that nature and that sort of thing. But it is critical for us to understand that amid everything, even though you're planning on buying that new car and that your bank, your savings are looking pretty good, even though those things are going all right, and I suggest that, yes, you make sure that your savings are, because you have to save for that rainy day and so on, fine. Those things are perfectly proper and important to do. God supports you to be thrifty, to utilize your funds in a manner that is conservative, and to make sure. All those things are important. But do not get to the comfort level where you say, oh, that the man with all his barns full and everything, he'll just sit back now and relax and say, soul, enjoy yourself and you're comfortable. Because the destruction is definitely coming. Either these things are true or they are not. So let us first of all be sensible. Let us find out are these things for true? Are they for real? Will they happen? But how can we ask? When we see the evidence around us, we see it in the world. We see how much people are talking about the issues of environment, the issues of the scarcity. You see that we now have to be using greenhouses in order to grow crops because we can't grow enough in the soil. So people are trying to find upward ways, poles on which to grow fruits, because we're running out of either earth space or fertile soil for it. When we look at how disastrous fires are burning out the forests? Isn't it happening? And the floods and tsunamis are happening? In other words, things are going to get scarce. So we know it parallels. And Jesus told us before. Look at number four. The number four, the seal. It says, when the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth creature saying, come, look, there before me was a pale horse. His rider was named Death. And Hades, that's grave, was falling close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword. So all of this, famine and plague, and by the way, so this is a continuation of the plagues, of the famine, of the war. It is going to be, it's probably going to meet to a point where they're all happening now together. It's going to be very, very disastrous. And these things, these forces, by the way, have been opened along the way. These are not something future. What's going to happen is that they are going to increase in intensity. But already the deception began from the time of the apostles. John spoke about it. He said, even now many antichrists have arisen. So already the deception and the false doctrine, and we know what happened in the early centuries, the 3rd century, 2nd century, and so on. So these things are already happening. And but they are increasing. The deception is increasing across the world. The scarcity was there. But the scarcity is getting worse. And so on. So what it means is that you can very well say these seals are already open. The four seals we just dealt with, they are already open. And what we are experiencing in our lives and what we are seeing around our world when we take up our newspaper and we are seeing all kinds of headlines, all kinds of conflicts, all kinds of scarcity and difficulty is all a reflection of this. But it's going to intensify as we go along. And then, if you go to verses 9 to 11 of Revelation 6, turn your Bibles there, you will see that we are dealing with the opening of the fifth seal. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, how long, sovereign Lord? What is happening now is that time is running out. Time is running out. This is there to say, the saints, the many saints, in the book of Hebrew 11, you see how many saints are listed there. Okay? The Bible tells us that all these died not receiving the promise. Still in their graves. And God had something better planned for us. So that we together with them will be resurrected. They're not. So Moses is still in the grave. So is Abraham. So is Enoch. Noah. All of them. And they're waiting. They're waiting. And so the imagery here is that they called out in a loud voice, how long suffering, Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? There is a need for God to do something. And he's being reminded by the blood of the saints that he sees. He knows what it means. And he's saying that, look, this is an amazing, amazing development. Then each was given a white robe and they were told to wait a little longer until the full number of their fellow servants. Now listen to this. On the full number of their servants, their brothers and sisters were killed just as they had. Wait. You already went through and you have been killed and so on and you're waiting. But some more have to be killed to join you before I can come with the end. So he's saying to them, there. Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told, wait a little longer until the full number of their fellow servants were killed. So the full number is not yet killed. Because there's coming a time, as you will see in this seals prophecy, which is going to lead us up to trumpets prophecy. You're going to see that God's people are going to go through trauma. You know, it is hard to say, because we would say God is powerful, God is love, God is good, God is true. And why would God cause this to go to us? But you know what? God has nothing to hide. He tells us up front, you must go through much tribulation to enter the kingdom of God. You must. He didn't say you may. You must go through much tribulation to enter the kingdom of God. So if you had it in mind that coming into church is some place where, oh, things are just rosy and nice and, you know, we are going to have a wonderful time and, you know, God is guarding over me so I can just call upon God and He will do this and He will cancel that and cancel this and cancel that. Because that's what is being taught. God is going to cancel this and cancel that. God, He's going to cause it to happen to you if you belong to Him. When it's not happening to you, can well, you don't belong to God. It's not happening to you. So you can go and cancel it. But for the people of God, they are going to meet the rough ends. The Waterloo is coming for the people of God. Sorry to say it. Maybe that is why the church is so scared, so few. Because most people want a good life where you can pray and get your pocketbook blessed. And it's just filled up. Right? And pray, I see many are saying, you know, some ministers who say, boy, the Lord is giving them a jet and he's telling them about the kind of jet that he wants. And he has now two jets and another one has a runway leading right to his doorstep. Right? He come off of his jet. He comes right to his doorstep. And he says, the Lord has done it. Well, let me tell you something. The God that we worship, the God of the Bible, He is saying to us, listen to me. This is not for the faint-hearted. This is not for those who are just looking for comfort. This is the people who are going to be tried and tested like gold passing through fire to be purified. Do not consider the trials you're going through as though something wrong is going on with you. These things are working out for you an eternal glory. The concept of the Christian walk and the Christian life, we have to understand. So this tells us that it is now closer to the end. The fifth seal is now coming closer to the end. So the four seals were something, they are already open and so on. And the fifth, it is more people have to join those, and the time is coming when that disaster is going to come upon. Look at Matthew 20, verse 9 of Matthew 24. Jesus tells them what is going to happen to them. And this applies to us, brethren. This applies to us. Let's take ownership of it. Let's welcome it, as hard as it sounds. Because we have taken the decision that we want to be a part of God's kingdom. And this is what people who plan to enter God's kingdom will go through. Here's what Jesus says. Look at verses 9 onward. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. He describes it as a time of great tribulation. He says it's unlike anything the world has ever experienced. Unlike anything. Consider, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? What kind of experience you have seen? And you think that it is terrible. You're talking about Grenfell, where all the people weren't there, and so on, as disastrous, intolerable as something like that is. That's not as bad as what is to come. What are you talking about? You're talking about how God, what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah, and how it was totally set on fire. Yes. That not as bad as what is to come. You're talking about Noah's time and the flood, and it wiped out all the people? Or you're talking about the diseases? Or you're talking about the Holocaust? What are you talking about? Are you trying to find something to compare? There's nothing to compare. Absolutely nothing to compare. That is why it's a serious decision as to whether you want to be a Christian or you don't want to be a Christian. That's the point. Are you taking up space? Are you looking for some kind of comfort? Therefore, you're leaving this congregation, make me very uncomfortable, so I'm going to go to another one. Is that really it? Well, you're not going to find a place of comfort. You are going to go through much tribulation. I am going to go through much tribulation. And Jesus has made a point. So these are, look at the sixth seal. The sixth seal, Revelation verses 12 to 17 of the book of Revelation. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. Now, this is now bringing others, you know, at first it was war where men make their own kinds of weapons and so on. This is now going way out of that. What is going to happen now? This is the cosmos are involved here. Look at what is happening. I looked and he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. Great earthquake. So wherever you have heard of air earthquakes before, this is super to all of them. And you've heard of terrible earthquakes. And the sun became black as sackcloth. So the cosmos. And the moon became like blood. And the stars from heaven fell on the earth. The stars from heaven fell on the earth? Really? Is this going to happen? I mean, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind, that is how the stars are going to fall on the earth. It's like the heavens are going to shake and the stars are going to fall out and they're going to hit the earth and people are going to say, what is this upon us? You run to the rock for a hiding place and the rock wants a hiding place for itself. Look, what are we going to do with this? Are we going to believe it? Or are we going to say it is fiction? Is this Star Wars? Or is this reality that is going to happen? Did Jesus say it or did he not say it? And do we believe him? Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled back, rolled up. And every mountain and island was moved out of its place. That means this earthquake and all of this thing, it is disaster. Nobody's going to be able to live. Nobody's going to be able to sleep. It is just going to be misery. People are going to wonder if there's a God. People are going to sit and think again. And they are going to curse God and die. They're going to curse God. They're going to say, I believe that there was a God, but at this day I am declaring, they're going to say there's no God. They're going to say, this is, forget about it. In fact, if you talk about God, you are going to be killed. Because you're an enemy. Because you're one of the persons invoking this evil upon us. This is how people who are Christians are going to be seen. And the kings of the earth, the great men, and the rich men, and the commanders, and the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountain, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne. That is what is going to be happening. That is what is going to be happening in those times. So it is very hard, very, very difficult time. Look at Luke 21. We're wrapping up the seven seals and looking at them. We're going to tune in to seal number one and tune in to seal number seven. But we want to give you this overview of these seals. Luke 21, verse 25 to 28. Just as what you saw there in Revelation. Luke is now giving you, Jesus is now giving you an explanation. He's saying, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Just as what it is saying there. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud, and that is, of course, the seventh seal. Stepping into the seventh seal. Seventh seal is not spoken about in chapter 6 of Revelation. You'll see it in chapter 8. It is a seal by itself. It's a seal which out of it comes the seven trumpets. And out of the seven trumpets come the bowls and all this kind of thing. So you're gonna really see that it is a whole series of things. So even though we have only come to the sixth seal, what we are seeing is, we wish, well, this is it. Can it be worse? Can it be any worse? Well, the seventh seal is not yet opened. And when that opens, it's going to give you seven trumpets. And when you see what those trumpets are going to do, you're going to wonder, really, what's going on? You know, it really means, where does our hope lie? How must we live? What must we do? Should we be very conscious of this? How does it change our lives? All of this is what we're going to have to consider. Because as we come up, and we're going to come up to these fall festivals in a matter of just a few months. We're entering the month of August now. By September, the end of September, it's trumpets. And we are going to try and deal with those trumpets going along the way until we come up to the day of trumpet. And we are going to be seeing how these things impact our lives. So let us just close this seven seals thing here by looking at chapter 8 very quickly of Revelation. And we are seeing there in verse 1 of chapter 8, it says, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven. Now notice that the seals were being dealt with in chapter 6, right? And the six of them were referred to in chapter 6. But the seventh seal was not referred to until chapter 8, was not opened until chapter 8. So what it means here is that this is something that we need to understand how, why it is that you have this gap in between. And what you will notice is that in chapter 7, it makes reference to the first fruits, the 144 and the multitudes. And what you're seeing there is that there is some work that will be done on God's people. Because God's wrath is about to be poured out. And God is preparing his people to cover them. Because he's sealing them from his wrath. The wrath that we're going to be exposed to Satan's wrath. But God is going to protect his people from his wrath. And we will talk about that when we get into those particular ones. But in chapter 8, we are the seventh seal is dealt with. We're just going to deal with that. And then it means we would have closed off on just the overview of the seals. And we will see if we will be able to contain. I see that you're having some technology limitations there. So, we will see if we can adapt what we're doing here to meet the concerns there. So, chapter 8 says, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Now, you know, this silence speaks volumes. Because what it is saying is, there came a moment when everybody was just stopped in their tracks. It's like you don't know what. It's like you have come into something and you have been so traumatized, or you're so shocked that you can't make a move. It's like you are just left up now to what is going to happen. It seems that there's no help. It seems that there's no way out of this. It seems that this is it. Whereas there might have been solutions before, there's no longer any solution. We have reached the end of it all. And that's what the seventh trumpet is. It is bringing out the very final things of the age. And so it says, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Everybody looking around. What is happening? What? What? I don't know. I don't know. Everybody don't know. But we are all just trying to find out from one another if anybody has any idea of what is going to happen here. We are all stunned. We are all clueless. That's the situation that it is describing. And I saw the seven angels who stood before God. And seven trumpets were given to them. Now this is the seventh seal, you know. So the seventh seal is unfolding another series of sevens. This time, seven trumpets. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with prayers of all God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. This is a time when the only thing can help you is prayer. There's no other place to turn. You just have to say, come on, let us pray. Let us pray. There's no way we can help ourselves. There's no ideas we have. There's nothing that we have as any moves that we can make. We are helpless. The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of God's people went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it upon the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. It describes even, you know, all these things. What we will do is, this is left by itself. We will look at the seventh seal, which are the seven trumpets, separately. So that would be for another time that we'll do it. But what you've seen here are the seven seals and their significance as Jesus describes it in the Gospels. And so where should we be at this time? We should be more alert. We should be more interested in knowing what's next and how it will impact our lives. And whether we are doing the right things in preparation for this. Because when we get deeply into it, we will realize that these things are not afar off. Now, one could say, oh my God, for the past 2,000 years, people have been saying these things are not afar off. We will go into that too. We will show you where the Bible even speaks about that. When some are going to be saying, oh, have we not been hearing about these things for a long time? And so why are you bothering about it? Forget about it. Those are just fables. That too is part of why God has unveiled things in a manner so that in every generation there is a sense of urgency, because God has to keep his people in a state of readiness. Why? Because the coming of Christ in the life of that believer, in a sense, is with the person's death. Christ has come in the person's life, so to speak. Because what it means is that that person is sealed for the end. So whether you're sealed in Christ, or you are someone who is coming up in the second resurrection, that's your state. So what it means, in a sense, the coming of Christ in the life of the believer, two ways to look at it. One, in the sense that when your life, like Paul says, if I live, I live in Christ. If I die in Christ. So whether I live or die, I'm Christ's. So there is a way in which you have closed that chapter, and all you're waiting for is, like the rest of the people, for the coming of Christ. The moment... you shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. That will come in like the next day of your life. It's just a way. That's why Christ calls it sleep. You're falling asleep and you're going to be woken up. And it's going to become like the next day in your life, when Christ shall have come and you're changed and you're caught up to meet him in the air. So that's one state. The other one is that when Christ actually comes during your lifetime. So the sense of urgency has always been necessary for the believer throughout the ages. No wonder God has really done it in a manner where even Paul thought that Christ would have been coming at his time. But the Bible is a progressive revelation. It's, the scripture says, the path of the just is like a light shining brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. So what it means is that, so we are seeing more. But one thing is constant. It has been true all the way. It has been true all the way. And that is why you can believe in it. That is why faith is really the critical thing here that God is talking about, that all of us truly have faith. I just want to ask you to think of these things. We are in a very critical age, a critical time, and God is God's word. That's the beauty about God's word. All of these things were written, at least the New Testament, close to 2,000 years ago. Yet, what we're reading about is as though it's like tomorrow's newspaper. It's as current as tomorrow's newspaper. Many of the things we are reading about here will become the headlines in the Sun and the Mirror and the various Chronicle and all the various papers that you have. These will be the headlines you're going to see. You're going to see where drought has taken over this part of the globe, and food, people cannot get any food, and you're going to see that is part of what is going to be here. Rivers are drying up, and water, people now are buying water. Some time ago you could just go drink water wherever you want. Now you're buying it. Okay, we're starting to buy it already. Do you know we're buying water? Yeah, we're buying water to drink. Just think of that. That's something that people never thought that could have happened at some point, because you see water flowing everywhere. We're now buying water. Well, there's going to be a point where you're going to have to buy water from your enemy. Your enemy is the one who owns the water. And you need the water. Because your part of the world doesn't have any. But where the water is probably some part of the world that, you know, there's war between the two countries. And people are going to be dying because of a lack of water, a lack of food. Diseases are going to be popping up all over the place. And these kind of things are going to be happening. So that is tomorrow's headlines. We have it here written for us by Jesus Christ in the books of Daniel, Revelation, the Gospels, Joel, other parts of the scriptures, and it's all there for God's people. So we will be able to warn the world and to say these are the things that are happening. All the decisions that are being taken now, the laws that are being made and so on, we'll be able to turn to the world and to say, these laws that you have made, this is going to be the answer to it. This is what is going to happen to you. This is what is going to happen to your nation because the Lord has spoken it. So we are going to have to really take on the role that God has given to us and to be the voice of God in the world. May God bless you, and may He bless us as we seek to death in His word. Amen.